Welcome to the Every Nation Taipei podcast. We're here to help you know God, discover your purpose, grow in your relationships, and make a difference in Taipei, Taiwan, and beyond. We hope this message encourages you today.
I was sitting here, you know, in service, and I'm thinking, oh, the sweet life. Oh, I remember that song, how sweet it is. That would be an awesome song to play right now because it's about relationships, and this is what the fruit of the Spirit is. It's all about our relationships with each other and the love that we have for each other, because that's what makes life sweet. So we're going to talk about that today, and a couple questions as we begin. How many of you are still carrying through here in May with the resolutions that you made back in January? Anybody? Are we still on it? A few? Still carrying through? Yeah. Well, you know, my wife and I, when we moved to Taiwan, we had this like, we're going to get in shape. We're going to eat healthy. We're going to lose weight. We're going to sleep well. You know, we're going to change our lives. And then we moved into our apartment, and there's a fruit stand right next to our apartment. We thought, man, so we want to eat more fruits than vegetables. We got a great fruit and vegetable stand. And you got to love Taiwan fruits, right? I mean, Taiwan has amazing fruits. So we were just like, this is awesome. God is so good. He really loves us. 24 hours, fruit all the time. You know, anytime you can go and just get some fruit. And then this month, earlier this month, we saw this. The next slide up there is closed, emptied out. I had the same reaction. I was so sad. I thought maybe God doesn't love us as much as he used to. We must have done something wrong, or you know, but no. You know, and that's one of those sad moments. Why? Because fruit is so good for you, right? And we love fruit. We love fruit, how it makes us healthy. Right? I was reading through all the benefits of fruit as I'm preparing for this, and it's talking about how fruit helps your heart. It helps your digestive system. It helps your brain. It helps your skin. The benefits of eating fruit. Not only that, but it's sweet. It looks good. It's you know, fruit is attractive. It's refreshing. It nourishes us. And fruit has this way of reproducing, right? Because in the fruit, there's a seed. So if you want more fruit trees, fruit is just this amazing gift from God in our lives. And so today we're going to be talking about the fruit of the Spirit. And what is that? How does that relate to? Why does God use that word fruit to describe what the Holy Spirit does in our lives? And how does this take place in our lives? So we just want to walk through that. I think I have an overview of the points. The Christian life should be like fruit. It's sweet, attractive, refreshing, nourishing, healing, productive. This is what God intends our lives to look like. This is what God intends for our experience to be and the experience of those around us. See, fruit isn't just for the tree. Fruit blesses, right, all the animals that eat the fruits. And all of us when we eat the fruit. And so in our lives, when we have fruit in our lives, it should be a blessing to others. It should bless both us and others. And so today, just a quick overview of what we'll be hitting, just so you know what's coming up. The sweet life isn't following religious rules, it's loving others. The sweet life isn't giving in to our sin or just doing whatever we please, but it's following the Holy Spirit. And the sweet life is denying our sinful desires and cultivating our spiritual desires. And we're going to look at this and what it means by just unpacking the scriptures. And we're going to look through Galatians chapter 5. But our key scriptures, our theme scriptures for this whole series, and we're going to kind of break it down over the next few weeks, one fruit at a time. It says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love. Joy. Peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. They can't stop you from being loving. They can't stop you from having joy. They can't stop you from having peace. They can't stop you from being a patient, kind, good person. All of these are God's intentions in our lives when we live the sweet life, when we live a life in the Spirit where we begin to bear the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And so we're going to just look at what this all means. How do we do it? I don't know if any of you have ever struggled with any of these. Or if you're like me, you know, once I became a Christian, the Holy Spirit came into my life and immediately I was just patient and kind and good. And now I'm just a gentle, a self-control, just all that stuff just comes right on out. Now, you know, I there's this dichotomy, right, of what we read that the Holy Spirit's supposed to do. And we think, well, now wait, fruit just... Like, I don't imagine an apple tree thinking, okay, I gotta not make lemons this time. I gotta make apples this time. I don't think that ever happens to an apple tree. But in my life, I sometimes find stuff coming out that doesn't look like that. And so there's this thing of saying, how do I bring the fruit of the Spirit out of my life? What is that process by which I become a person who produces the fruit of the Holy Spirit in my life? And we're going to just look in context. We're just going to be looking at Galatians chapter 5. The best way to understand what Scripture means is by looking at the context of the Scripture, the rest of the story, the chapter, the verses around that verse. And so we always want to be people who, we don't make up our own ideas. We want to be people who look at what does the Scripture say? And then live by that and believe that. We want to believe what the Scriptures say. So we're going to be looking at Galatians chapter 5. If you have a Bible on your phone or a paper one, you can pull that out. In the meantime, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for your word. It gives us so much wisdom. It speaks to our hearts. And we're thankful for the Holy Spirit that unpacks the word to us and brings life to these words. And today, Lord God, I think of the songs that we were singing earlier and how truly there's none but Jesus. And how it was really his coming to earth, showing us what a life lived in the Spirit looks like. And then laying his life down on the cross so that we could step into and experience that life. And so today, Lord God, we just come with hearts of thanksgiving, but also, Lord, we open our hearts. We just take a moment and say, we invite you, Holy Spirit, to come. And you speak to us today. That today would be more than just information and more than just inspiration, but truly, Lord God, as your Spirit speaks to our hearts, we would be transformed. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, let's get on with it here. First point, the first thing we're looking at is the sweet life isn't following religious rules, it's loving others. So Galatians chapter 5, we begin in verse 1, and it says this. So Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. And it says Christ has truly set us free. You see, we're all born into a slavery of sin. And what that means is that we all have inside of us these desires, sort of innate desires to sin. All you got to do is have a kid, you know, and then you see, you don't have to teach them how to say no, how to talk back, how to take stuff, how to mess stuff up, how to hit their little brother. You know, they just, it's inside of them. When you give them a toy or they got that toy, and then when someone, the other kid next to them has a toy, they want the other kid's toy too. And they always want what the other kid has. You know, it's just innate inside of them. And I don't know about you, but even as an adult, I still have junk inside of me. I still want to do stuff that's not right. You know, I still say things that I think, I wish I could take that back. Why? Because we have this inside of us. We're born into, the Bible says, it's like this slavery to sin. We have this inside of us, this innate drive to do things that are just bad, that go against the way God created us. But Christ now has set us truly free. And what that means is not just, when he says truly free, it's not just that we are free from, we can be free from the power of sin in our lives, but also we are free to enjoy all that God has for us in life. Because when we're born into this life, a lot of times we have no idea what God has for us. But I want to tell you what God has for you is sweeter than anything that you could make up for yourself. So the sweet life really only comes, we only experience the sweetest part of life when we begin to align with what God created us for. So this freedom is not just a freedom for messing up, but also a freedom to run into what's right, to run into what's sweetest for us. And so we he's saying, now don't get tied back up into this slavery to the law. So what does that mean? Verses 4 through 7, the next verses, it says, for if you are trying to make yourselves right with God by keeping the law, you have been cut off from Christ. You have fallen away from God's grace. But we who live by the Spirit eagerly wait to receive by faith the righteousness God has promised us. So let's unpack that a little bit. If you're trying to place, if for when we place our faith in Christ, all of a sudden, there's no benefit from all the religious rules. Before, God gave them all these religious rules because they had no relationship with Christ. And so the only way that they could taste life the way that God intended for it was there was no inner connection with Christ. God just gave them these external rules and said, actually, if you keep all these rules, you'll begin to experience some of life as I intended it. But God never intended it to be just an exterior set of rules for us to follow. He meant for it to come from a trust relationship with him. This is what faith is. Faith is simply trusting God, trusting what he says, trusting his intentions for our lives, trusting his perspective on life and his decisions and his leading in our lives. But what Paul is saying here, you have to choose. If you want to just live by religious rules, then you can choose that, but then you'll have no place of trust and faith. And for me, I always thought the Christian life was living by religious rules. That was kind of the sum total for me of the Christian life. But Paul here, he's saying, actually, it's the opposite. If you want to live your life by the law, by the rules, then you completely miss the relationship of trust that comes through Jesus. And you've fallen away from God's grace or God's favor towards you. The favor that comes through relationship. See, we don't earn God's favor. We don't earn his approval. We don't get into a better relationship with him through keeping the rules. We come into that place, the Bible says, through faith, which is trusting God. And so we who live by the Spirit, he says, when you live by the Spirit, when you let the Spirit of God into your life and let him guide your life, then there's this faith that comes into your life that you will step into righteousness and experience the righteousness that God promised us. Okay, so let's go on. Let's see, the next text says, for when we place our faith in Christ Jesus, there is no benefit in being circumcised or being uncircumcised. What is important is faith expressing itself in love. You are running the race so well. Who has held you back from following the truth? So what's the truth? The truth is when we trust Jesus, when we trust God, we open our hearts to him. His Spirit comes inside of us and we have this trust in Christ that then leads us into righteousness. But if we choose to live by the rules, and I'm one of those guys who so much of my life, I live by the rules, and I felt like Christianity was just trying to get everybody else to live by the rules. And I felt like as a Christian leader, that was my job, to get people to live by the rules. And to put a little bit of shame on them, put a little bit of guilt on them, you know, try to manipulate them into keeping all the rules. And I thought, that's how they're going to be pleasing to God. And I totally missed what Paul is saying here. He said, actually, what's important is faith or trust in God, which expresses itself in love. So what does it mean? It means that the sweet life, the life of the Spirit, is one that manifests itself in love. If you truly trust God, then what comes out of you is love. I don't know about you, but I find love missing so much sometimes, you know, in my life and how I view other people. I'm so quick to judge and criticize. You know, I got all this learning. I've been a Christian for a long time, since I was 7 years old, so that's 55 years now. You know, so 55 years I've been a Christian, and I've been to Bible college, and I've been to seminary, and I got all this stuff, and I can critique people, and I got lots of information and knowledge to critique people by, and I can really point out people's faults, and somehow I think that, well, that elevates me and makes me, you know, more trustworthy than them and more knowledgeable than them, and God must love me more than them, and I live my life that way. And then you read this and it says, actually, you missed the whole point. The point of the Christian life is, do you trust God? And number two, do you love people? Because that trust in God, if you're truly trusting God, it should always manifest itself in love for people. Because that's the heart of God. And that's how God will always look at people, is with love. And so if I'm truly trusting God, if my trust is in Him, then I'll start to take on the same heart that He has. I'll start to see things the way He sees them. But He says, someone's held you back. You started out that way. When you first experienced the love of God, you were just overwhelmed by that love and overwhelmed by the goodness of God and just totally trusted God and were loving people. It's kind of like when we look at the last couple of weeks, we were looking, actually 2 weeks ago, we were looking at how when the church first started, in the aftermath of Jesus' death and then His resurrection and then His ascension into heaven, how that first, when the Christian church was first birthed, how much they loved each other and trusted God and shared with each other. And a lot of us, when we first come to Christ, it's like that. We're so overwhelmed by how much God loves. When we realize that Jesus' death on the cross, what it means for us, we're overwhelmed by that love that Jesus had for us. And we say, oh, God loves me that much, I can trust Him. And then we start to love others. But Paul says, you missed it along the way. And so he jumps down here in chapter 5, verse 13 through 15. He says this, you've been called to live in freedom. Remember, for verse 1, he says, yeah, this is the calling. Christ has set you free, and you've been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. But don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another. You see, the sweet life is freedom from religious rules. It's not freedom to sin or follow our own sinful nature. It's a freedom to follow the Spirit of God. It's a freedom from just living by the law, by the religious rules. The sweet life means loving others. It doesn't mean tearing others down. And yet it seems like sometimes Christians, we're the most critical people out there. We kind of are so quick to blame others and to point out where they've fallen short. And Paul's saying it's actually not that at all. The sweet life is freedom from religious rules, not the freedom to sin. It's the loving others, not tearing others down. The sweet life isn't living by the rules. The sweet life is loving others. So this should be the most loving place in Taiwan. Sunday morning, when the family of God gathers together and God's presence is here and we've turned our faces towards Him. That's why we worship at the beginning. It's not because we love music. It's not because we think it's a cool way. It's not because we're just waiting for everybody to show up. Let's do something while waiting for people to show up. But rather, what worship is as we begin to sing, it engages our souls because it begins, music has a way of touching our emotions. And it engages us physically to begin to focus on God. And so we sing these songs to God, of worship to Him, so that we turn our attention towards Him, because when we turn, God is always there. God is everywhere. This is part of being God. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. So God is always here, but God says He especially loves to show up or manifest Himself or to make us consciously aware of His presence when we come together in groups like this, and especially more when we turn our focus towards Him. And then as we turn our focus towards Him, He begins to change us. Because as we see God who is love, when we see God who is good, then we become more loving and good. And so this should be the most loving, good place in all of Taiwan. Right? It just should be the highlight of our week, the most loving place of our week. It should be the happiest place of the week. And it doesn't mean that we don't at times, come here with burdens and tough times. And sometimes God does put His finger on areas of our life that we got to change. But it's always out of love and out of His goodness. And that's the way that we should approach each other. This is what it means to live the sweet life. This is what it means to live in connection with the Spirit of God. All right, let's go to point two. I think we're ready for point two. The sweet life isn't giving into our sin nature. It's following the Holy Spirit, okay? So it's not giving into our sin nature or just kind of doing whatever we please. The sweet life, some of us, oh man, you know, sweet life is just I do whatever I feel like doing. I just do the things that make me happy. You know, I just do the things whatever I desire. That's going to be the sweet life. Someday, you know, I'll retire. I won't have a boss to tell me what to do. I'll have money and I'll be able to go where I want, do what I want. Nobody can tell me. That's actually not the sweet life. It's funny how, you know, I know they always say with men, when we retire, we tend to die faster if we don't do something else. God never intended us to just do whatever kind of we want to do from our sin nature, from our own desires. And this is what it says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 and 17. It says, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. Let's go to the next one. Thanks. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. So you're not free to carry out your good intentions. You see, when the Spirit of God comes into our lives, when we, by faith, trust Christ and invite Him in, the Spirit comes in and if there weren't the sinful nature inside of us, we would just naturally do what the Spirit wants. But we still have this sin nature inside of us that competes with the Spirit's nature and what the Spirit desires. And then we have a choice. We every day we get to choose. Do I want to follow what my sin nature wants to do, or do I want to follow where the Spirit is leading me? And that's always going to be left to your choice. Now, I wish that God would just sort of zap us with good character and with, you know, love and joy and peace. And I wish it was that moment I said the sinner's prayer, I never had to worry again about, I never had another desire to do anything bad, and I only wanted to do what is good. But that's not the way it works out. We still live in a sin-broken world, and we still have sin brokenness in our lives. And sometimes, at least in my life, sometimes I feel like I'm not making much progress in becoming more like Christ. But that's part of the process. See, one of the things that when it talks about it being like fruit, this description of the Spirit in our lives, it's that fruit takes time to grow. And in the same way, it just takes time for the life of Christ to take root in our lives and to grow and to begin to bear fruit. But we've had this sin nature in our life all of our lives. But now, all of a sudden, we have to start choosing between where the Spirit leads and where our sin nature leads. And that's the struggle that we walk through. And so the Bible here lays out, now in the next section of scriptures, it's interesting. You know, I was in our small group this past week, Thursday night. We were just talking about this, and one of the guys was saying, you know, it reminds me of Genesis chapter 3 when Adam and Eve first sinned. And part of the curse on their lives that came because of sin was that God said, from now on, whenever you plant fruits and plants in the ground, it's always going to be hard work for those plants to bear fruit. It's going to be disappointing. It's going to be the sweat of your brow. And this guy in the group, he was saying, that doesn't only apply to the natural fruit and plants, but it also applies to the spiritual. And if we want to bear spiritual fruit, it's going to take work in our lives. Sweat of our brow, getting up early. I worked for a year with a bunch of farmers in Texas. And you get up like 3 a.m., 4 a.m. They love getting up early, those farmers, you know. So they'd all come together and drive in from all the area there. I was up in the panhandle of Texas in Amarillo. And so they'd all come to the headquarters and bring their donuts and coffee and talk about farming, you know. And the work that these guys do every morning, 3, 4 a.m. they're up and then just working all day. And it's backbreaking work. There's peanut farmers and it's hard work to get those peanuts to come out of the ground. And it takes faith, because for a long time you plant those things and you don't know how it's going down, you know, with those peanuts under the ground. And so this growing the fruit of the Spirit is similar. It takes faith on our parts. It takes time. It takes patience. It takes hard work. Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. So when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. There's sexual immorality. There's impurity. There's lustful pleasures. There's idolatry and sorcery. There's hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division. Let's just stay on this. Let's go backward. So it's interesting how Paul breaks it down here. He starts off with sexual immorality, impure, and lustful pleasures. And those are things that come from inside of us, our own physical desires. And these are actually desires that God gave us. He actually put sexual desire inside of us. He put one of the other sins is eating too much, gluttony, and he put the desire for food in us. All these natural desires that we have inside of us, God meant for us to dominate and control them and use them for his purposes, not our own pleasure. And this is that constant combat between following our sinful nature. And what makes our nature sinful is when it goes away from God's intention. So sex is good within God's intention. It's created by God. But when we go against God with any of these areas, this world was created for as a gift for us. But when we start to abuse it in ways that God didn't intend, then it becomes sinful. So in our lives, we have these desires. You know, God created pleasure. But when we when we follow that pleasure in a way that goes against God's purposes, then it becomes sin. So we have these internal sins. And then it says idolatry and sorcery. And those are sins that happen in the spiritual realm, in the spiritual world. Worshipping other gods instead of the God. Trying to get spirits to do our bidding instead of doing God's bidding, which is sorcery. And then the vast majority of these that are listed all have to do with our relational sins. Hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. So you get to choose. Do you want what God has? Do you want the sweet life that he created you for? Or do you want to just follow your own stuff? And too often, I got to tell you, not so much maybe drunkenness and wild parties, but a lot of the other stuff, envy and, you know, dissensions and argument, a lot of that stuff is my life. And God's saying, you have to choose between the two. Eternal desires, the spiritual realm, and relational sins. And so we're in this constant battle between choosing to follow our sinful nature or following the lead of the Spirit. Point three, our last point here. The sweet life is denying our sinful desires and cultivating our spiritual desires. Galatians chapter 5, our theme verse says, "But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There is no law against these." And these are the things that attract people to us. These are the things that help us to bond with other people, that people want to then be our friends, that cause people to open up their hearts to us, that allow us to open up our hearts to them, to bond in meaningful ways with God and with people. This is what the Holy Spirit always intended, for us to live in community with God and with others. And these are the traits that allow for that to happen. I am sad that God doesn't just zap us with these things. But the truth is, fruit comes from who we are. And so it has to be grown from the inside. Like any fruit, it just takes time to grow up inside of us. As we become more like Christ. See, the goal of the Christian life is to become like Christ. And this list of the fruit of the Spirit is actually a description of what Christ looks like. This is who Jesus is. He is love. He is joy. He is peace. He is patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. These are all a description of the character and the nature of Christ. And the Christian life is us growing up to be like Christ. And so the more that we get the Spirit working in our lives, the more we become like this. But it does take time. And we wish it would happen fast. But God never intended us to live quick little lives. As I was studying for this, I thought, what is the slowest growing, the longest lived tree, you know, plant? And there's these huge, in California, they have those huge sequoias, right? The huge red, these things grow over 100 meters tall, right? And they have a lifespan. Some are over 2,000 years old. They don't mature until about 400 years old. So that's a long time, longer than me. But if you want to live a life of stature, if you want to grow up into the fullness of all that God has for you, it takes time. Or you can be like what these little things you call duckweed, which has about a one, you know, takes it about a day to reproduce. So one day to not only reach maturity, but to multiply itself. And it has a lifespan of about 14 days. And it just becomes like pond scum. That's basically what it is. Like, it looks like algae on a pond. It multiplies fast and then it starts killing off everything in the pond, except for ducks like to eat it. And so you get to choose. You want your Christian life to be like duckweed, you know, pond scum, or you want your Christian life to be like a redwood. You choose. But the redwood life takes time. So how do we get more of the Spirit? How do we grow up into Christ? Well, there's a few things. Number one, Scripture. Read the Word of God. The Bible says that Scripture feeds us. If you're not reading the Bible every day, then it's hard for you to grow up in Christ, because you're not feeding nutrients into your body, into your spirit. So how can your spirit grow? Your spirit, you're not going to become like this. You're not going to become love, joy, peace. But as you read the Scriptures, you get the Word into you, suddenly over time you begin to see your life transform. This past week we were doing a conference, it's like 1 a.m. to 4:30 a.m. in the morning in the States. We're watching this conference, and the founding president of our Every Nation, he was just talking, and he's an evangelist. He goes to all these college campuses, and he's seen hundreds of students come to the Lord in the past few months, just going on campus and preaching. And when he does that, he especially goes after atheists and agnostics. And so when he gets into it, he says, you know, it's pretty, right, especially nowadays on campus, he says, when it starts off, these guys are pretty, you know, antagonistic and belittling, and they just want to pick a fight, and they want to disagree with you. And so it starts off, they're trying to make fun of you, they're trying to get a rise out of you. And at first it was a fight, he said, but what I've done now, since January of 2021, I read the New Testament every week. And every week I read the book of Psalms, and every week I read through the latter half of Isaiah 40 through 66, which is kind of like the precursor to the New Testament. And so it's every week he's reading this. He says, every week since that time, I've read through it now 80 something times that I've read through. And what I found, he said, is all of a sudden I'm changed from the inside out. Now when I go into these conversations with these guys, when I go into these lecture halls, because he'll rent the lecture hall and invite all the atheists to come, and then he'll say, we're going to talk about God not being dead. So he wrote the book, God's Not Dead. And they'll just go at it. And he says, no, when these guys start going after me, I just love comes out. I no longer have to think through, oh, I better be loving, I better not lose control. I just automatically love them. I automatically am patient. I automatically am, because he says the Word is changing who I am from the inside out. I'm getting the fruit of the Spirit inside. And so I want to encourage you to read the Word. If you're not on our daily reading plan, jump on with us. Join our daily reading plan. Prayer is another way. Just getting that time of communicating with God, sharing your heart with God, and allowing God to share his heart with you. Every Friday night, 7 o'clock, we jump on Zoom and pray together.
Worship. That's why we do worship, as we turn towards God. The Bible says we worship God, we fill ourselves up with more of the Spirit of God. And fellowship in a church like this, when you come together, there's something about being together that allows more of the Spirit of God to have greater influence in our lives. Last verse, Galatians chapter 5, verses 24 through 26 says this: those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. So what is it saying? It's saying we have to put to death those sinful desires. When we want to follow our pleasures and our desires in ways that go contrary to God's purposes and his ways, we have to go to war on those desires and say no. See, Christ doesn't nail our passions and desires to the cross. We have to do that. We have to crucify them. We have to put them down. That's on us. It's not on God to zap us. It's on us to do that. We have to choose to follow the Spirit instead. Three things that will lead to this sweet life. One, character. This is why you have to choose. Because character is only formed as you consistently develop a habit of making right choices. This is why it's up to us to decide whether we want to follow the sin nature or the leading of the Spirit. We choose. God doesn't force us. He doesn't come over us and put us in a trance and make us spiritual. Every time we get to choose. Because God wants us to grow up and to mature. Because his intention is that we learn how to lead like he does. To make right choices the way that he does. And that only comes through learning to make right choices, maturing, relationship, growing in love, nurturing the life of the Spirit inside of us so that we are more loving towards people. Because we become more loving towards God. And lastly, lordship. There's character, there's relationship, and there's lordship. And lordship is just saying, I'm going to choose to follow the Spirit's leading in my life. God's given us everything we need to do that, but we make that choice. God showed us the love of the Father in sending his only Son. Jesus showed us his love in living a life of love, showing us how to live, but also laying down his life. And now we have the Holy Spirit with us. Jesus said, I need to go back so that you'll have the Holy Spirit, because he'll be more help to you than if I was living in Taipei with you. That still blows my mind. And it makes me realize I do not have enough of the Holy Spirit's influence in my life. I still think it'd be way better for Jesus to be in Taipei than for me to have the Holy Spirit. And so as a church, let's just say, God, Holy Spirit, we need more of you. We want to love the Holy Spirit and have so much of the Holy Spirit in our lives, actively at work in our lives, following him, that it's better than even if Jesus was living here in Taipei. And so I want to just say a quick prayer with you. If you just bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for Jesus who died on a cross so that the sin barrier between us and you would be removed, that we could be forgiven of our sins and your Spirit could live inside of us. And so today, Lord God, we just say, forgive me of my sins. Come in and be Lord of my life. And let me be one who follows your Holy Spirit. Father, we would experience the sweet life of living by the power of the Spirit and under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. That we ourselves might be a source of life, nourishment, refreshment. That we might be attractive to those around us and we might see the life of the Spirit reproduced in others. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We pray this message spoke to you and built your faith. For more messages like this, visit our website at everynationtaipei.com. You can also send a prayer request and reach out to us anytime. God bless you. Till next time.